Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Campbell Smith is a name to strike fear in the hearts of anyone involved in the New Zealand music scene. Well, if you're dumb enough to be on the wrong side of him, that is, because Campbell Smith essentially is the New Zealand music scene. As founder of CRS Management, he looks after the biggest names in Kiwi music. He's married to one of them. CRS also runs the New Zealand leg of the Big Day Out, and he's the head of REANS, the Recording Industry Association of New Zealand. How can one man do so much, you ask? Well, clearly Campbell's been wondering that too, and so next month he steps down from REANS after 5 years at the top. Was that the reason behind the move, Campbell? Are you stuffed?
Yeah, I guess to a degree. I did set some goals for myself when I started there, and I think that most of those have been achieved. Well, they've all been achieved to one degree or another, and it just sort of felt like the right time to step down. But I guess the thing is that I'm an artist manager. That's really what I've always been and what I will always continue to be. And I have a really big job this year with the Naked and Famous and Brooke Fraser offshore, and I couldn't keep it all going.
You didn't start off as an artist manager, though. You started off as a lawyer, is that right?
Yeah,
music lawyer. Yeah. An area that I dabbled in myself, and one thing I found was that it's really hard as soon as you got two clients, one of them wants to sue the other. How do you juggle so many things and not end up inherently conflicted?
As a lawyer or just throughout everything?
With everything you've been doing the last 5 years, you know, REANS, artist management, Big Day Out, all that stuff. How do you keep your separate Campbells separate?
I sort of some internal lines, I guess, that I've been really quite rigid with myself, and to the extent that I will often, to the detriment of my own artists on occasion, I think I've sort of pushed them back because I think it may look conflicted. But I have a line inside myself that I feel I'm pretty sure about, and I've always, I don't think I've ever gone over it in any situation. And actually, the things that I do, you'd be surprised. It seems like there may be a lot of conflicts, but it doesn't really often come up. I don't pick the bands on my own that play the music awards, for example.
Right.
I sit on the committee that picks them, but I'm only one member of that. And I think with things like music awards, it's always very clear who the band should be that should play.
Actually,
four out of five.
The music awards is an interesting example because that's one of the things that has changed a lot in the 6 years that you've been there. It's the public face of REANS, and it's become quite a different event, hasn't it?
That was really important to me. I think the key ambition that I had when I started at REANS was actually to make it what I thought it ought to be, which was a very active representative of recording artists and record labels. I think it had lost that. It wasn't really that at all. No one actually really knew what it was or what it did for these people who created master recordings. And you're right, the Music Awards was the public face of that, if it had one at all, and it was a really shitty face. It was the Music Awards from 7 or 8 years ago, I think, was a pretty tragic affair. So a key goal for me when I came in was to make that the event that I thought it should be in terms of representing what New Zealand music was, how good it was, and I guess giving that back to the people, and having the people involved in it as well. We used to do the show when I started, we were doing the show at the Aotea Centre, which at least had some capacity for public involvement. But taking it to Vector was always the ambition, because we could actually have 2,000 industry people sitting on the floor wanking, but we could have 7,000 people sitting around the outside, 7,000 fans actually having a role to play.
Because that's important, because if you had have got rid of those 2,000 people in the middle, you would have been run out of town, wouldn't you? If it had been a completely public event.
Oh, totally, yeah. They have to, you know what, and I'm being kind of a bit facetious. It's a celebration for the industry as well, but it ought not to be entirely that. Should not be a closed shop. It should be, the public should be playing a part.
Can we just go back a little bit? We've talked a little bit about REANS and what REANS is. Can you give me the mission statement or the goals and aims of REANS? It's the Recording Industry Association of New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can give you
Who belongs?
Well, who belongs are 65 member labels, which is the ones that everyone will know, which are the four major international labels.
Sony, EMI, etc.
Yep. Warner, BMG. So far it's four. Could be three very soon. Who knows? And then, obviously, you'll know there's been some well-known local labels, and there's 60-odd others. Basically, all the people who make sound recordings in New Zealand as label entities, but then also every single musician that records music in New Zealand as a REANS member. And that's a really important thing that I think a lot of people don't realise, that we're advocating on behalf of people who create master recordings,
which is different from APRA, isn't it? And I know there will be a lot of people out there listening who go, I thought that was APRA. APRA is about people who are playing the music. Is that right?
And no.
REANS is the people who make the music?
No.
Other way around? APRA's songwriting, isn't it?
Yes,
songwriting.
There you go. Yeah. I haven't been
a lawyer for a while. Yeah. APRA's the songwriting. REANS is the playing.
Well, it's reasonably... It actually... It's complicated. It's a complicated concept when you first think about it. In that, when you take a CD, for example, that old-fashioned piece of plastic that contains a master recording, inside that CD obviously is a recording, which is what you play. But it embodied inside that recording is a song. There always has to be. There can't be a recording without a song. There can be a song without a recording. But you can't play a song on radio, for example, without it being in a recording. So there's two copyrights. And the easiest way I find to explain that to people is that, say, you're a musician, Damien, and I'm a songwriter, and I write a song and you record it. Well, then each of us has a right inside that recording. I have my inherent right as a songwriter, and you have yours as the recording artist.
And in this situation, Rhiannes, you are looking after me,
after you, the recording artist, and APRA would be looking after Campbell Smith, the songwriter, which is a frightening concept. But
how much has where the money comes from in music changed, and even in the time you've been in the job? Because I get the impression there's less and less coming from actually selling recordings, more from rights revenue. Is that?
Yes, less money is coming from selling recordings. The value of the New Zealand recorded music industry over the last 7 years has more than halved. It's 60% less than it was, which coincides completely with the era of file sharing. It means we sell less records, and we've had to look at other ways to, well, we've had to try to stop that happening, and that's obviously a very public conversation has been going on about that for years, but we have to look at other ways to generate revenues. And that's come from things like synchronization, putting your recordings in ads and films and TV shows.
That's a big one. Artists like SJD didn't actually sell very many albums, but off one album got three big ad campaigns. That's important.
You could get an ad campaign that will exceed the income from your record sales. And when you're looking at making records now, record companies are looking at investing in a recording artist. They'll be looking at not just how many records they think they're going to sell, but what the alternative revenue streams can deliver. And you'll see that's the nature of these things called 360 deals, where record companies are going, well, we'll invest in making the record with you, but we'd also like to share in the synchronization income, and we'd like to share in your live income, and we'd like to share in your merch income. Which is all well and good. It's just simply a commercial negotiation. If you can negotiate terms that suit to do that with them, then do it.
Can we go back to that copyright and file sharing issue? Because you've been in the front lines of what at times has looked like a copyright war. Is it going to be a relief to step back a bit from that?
I don't think I'll step back from it, because I represent artists, and I think that I'll continue to have an interest in making sure that the creativity of the artists that I represent receives fair consideration. It has been a bit of a war, and I guess it probably at times hasn't been particularly well dealt with in a public way. These are things I guess you learn looking backwards, as the case with a lot of things. But it's simply, I guess, I sort of have a three-pronged approach to it, and it's the approach that Rhiannes has been taking from the outset, really, and maybe not a lot of people have understood that, but the way we think we need to deal with the illegal file sharing concept or activity is to, education is a key part of it. I think you need to talk to the public about what copyright is and why it's important and why the people that create these things ought to have their rights respected. You don't really learn that at school. No one at school says, okay, here's maths and reading and stuff, on here's intellectual property. And it really ought to be in this day and age, with so much of what we do takes place in that economy, in that environment.
A band I know regularly has young kids coming up with burnt copies of their CD saying, can you sign this film?
That's, education's important, because I think that, internationally, a lot of affiliated societies with Rhiannes have sued, particularly in America. They've taken 14-year-old kids and sued them. And I've never, ever thought it's a PR disaster for a start, but I don't think it's right. You need to start from the position that, or give the public the benefit of the doubt to a degree, and say, maybe you don't understand this, that this is what this is and that's why it's important. I think the law is the second part of it, and that's what the big argument has been about, what the law should do to protect, to I guess, balance between the creativity of songwriters and the public interest on the other hand, songwriters and recording artists. And then thirdly, and by far most importantly, I think, looking forward, is that we need to develop new business models, and we need to deliver the public viable legal alternatives to illegal activity. And until we can do that in a very effective way, it's going to be hard.
I'm one of those weirdos who actually does buy music online, but man, it could be hard sometimes. Things like emusic.com, which I'm a member of, no other New Zealanders now can get on that. I can't get half the catalogue now. Why is it so hard?
Well, it shouldn't be. And that's why I guess to what I'm saying before. It ought not to be that the easiest place to get music and the easiest interface online is LimeWire. That ought not to be the case. We ought to be providing viable alternatives that are easy to use. If you want to buy music at 3 a.m. on a rainy night in Wellington or 2 p.m. in the afternoon. You could be able to do it wherever you like and however you want to access it. If you want to download a la carte, you ought to be able to do that. If you want to be a member of a subscription service, we ought to be able to provide that. And I think that's the challenge for us going forward. The dichotomy, I guess, is that this takes investment. And, developing these new models takes investment. And when you're in a small economy that is riddled with piracy, it's difficult to find the money to invest. iTunes is a really good example here. We fought with, we pleaded with iTunes for years to open up here. And they basically, effectively looked at the market and said, that's a tiny country that's full of piracy. What's the point? And in the end, we got iTunes in basically off the back of Australia. We, had the back end is all out of Australia. But we had to have that. It's a very difficult argument to have with the population saying don't steal when they go, okay, I'll stop. Where do I get it from? And it's, I guess, what you're saying. We need to make these opportunities. We need to explore more opportunities and make them easier to use.
Just finally, anyone leaving a business which has seen that much contraction over the period, as you say, 60% in revenues, you might say, well, there's the captain jumping off the sinking ship. Are you confident for the future of New Zealand music and the industry as a whole?
When I started working as a manager, I just managed bands that did it as a hobby. And I think that what's great about our industry now is that more of them are making, at a career. And, I feel positive about the quality of the music that we create. It's ridiculous that we create the music we do out of such a small place that's really so isolated and so far away.
Mm. Well, Campbell Smith, best of luck with your lighter workload.
The rest of the stuff, yeah.
And Campbell Smith steps down from Re-Ends next month. After the break, sports and alcohol and science and TV.